FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Vectis Radio, lunchtime. We have a special guest in the studio, and it's Lisa Beeney over there. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, we just had a good old chat about certain things that we can't talk about on air. Wish we could, because it would make good listening. But you're in. We're going to talk gas boilers in a wee while, but you want to tell us about warmer homes.
Yeah.
This is something we're going to be doing every month now, and gas boilers is the topic for this month. But you just want to say something's changed.
Yes, there have been some changes to the Warmer Homes Grant Scheme. This is also known as the Home Upgrade Grant Scheme Number 2, or HUG for short, because HUG is nice, isn't it? But they've changed the income bracket. So it used to be if you were on an income of £31,000 or less, but now it's a household income of £36,000 or less. So that does mean that a few more people may be eligible to apply. So that can only be a good thing. So the main criteria are that you have an EPC rating of D or lower, and you don't use gas as your form of heating at the moment. And that covers about 40% of the island don't use gas for their heating.
Right, okay. That's another shocking figure, isn't it?
Mm.
That sounds high, doesn't it?
Yeah, but there's whole areas on the island where they just never laid a gas main. So those homes will be heated either through oil, through an LPG tank, which might be underground, might be on top of the ground, or they just use electric heating.
Is that what those big tanks are that you see in places out in the sticks?
Yep, that will either be oil or gas, depending on the tank type.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, that's been there for a long time. What are the chances of them getting gas at some point with a big pipe, I guess?
Non-existent.
Oh, no chance at all, then?
No chance at all.
I won't be moving to the country, then.
Oh, I don't know. There's lots to be said for living in the country.
Yeah, okay. All right, so a few things have changed. If you want to know any more, though, you can check out the council's website. It's very easy to find.
Yeah, it's very easy to find. If you look on the Isle of Wight Council, or just put in Warmer Homes Isle of Wight Council into Google, you'll find it. And a link to apply online, or a phone number that you can call.
And this has been put in place because, obviously, people are struggling. Things are changing, and I'm guessing that the council have got some kind of funding going on, but they obviously want to help people with, you know, the situation that's only going to get worse.
Yes, I mean, it's a really good source of funding because it will pay for up to £38,000 worth of home improvements. So we're not just talking kind of £500 towards your loft insulation. This can be quite major changes. So it can include things like solar panels and batteries. It can include new energy efficient heating, insulation. And it could be if you live in an old solid wall house where you can't have cavity wall insulation, it can pay for both internal or external wall insulation. And that will make a huge difference to your energy bills.
So if you're sat there thinking, well, I wouldn't qualify for that, you don't know until you dip your toe in the water and have a little look, because you might be pleasantly surprised. How do we know whether we're... I guess you just go for some kind of criteria on the website.
Yes, if you look on the website, there'll be an Apply Now link. You go through that, put in your details, and it will soon tell you if you're eligible or not. And there's a whole range of benefits that if you receive those, then you'll be eligible. Or if your household income is below 36,000. But there are also whole postcode areas on the island where that income criteria is totally taken out of the equation. So your income doesn't matter if you live in one of these areas.
Now, you came in about a month ago and you shocked us with some facts and figures that not many people were taking us up on the offer of. Is that still the case?
No, that is improving.
Good.
I know that because part of my job, I'm a retrofit assessor. So I'm now going out and doing full retrofit assessments on properties for people that have applied. So I know this work is starting to happen. So that is positive. it's all good news, and I'd just encourage more and more people to take up this offer, because this is money from central government that's been given to the island. If we don't use it, it goes back to central government. And I'm sure everybody loves politicians as much as we do and would love to hand them all their money back.
Yeah, sorry, I had to refrain from saying something then. right, OK, so check it out. You just might get lucky, and good luck. Now, there's not a number of things that we're going to be talking about over the coming months. Almost all of them, if not all, intrigue me, because I think we're all interested in things like air fryers, things like solar panels and so on. But today we're starting with gas boilers.
Yep.
So why are we talking about gas boilers?
We're talking about gas boilers because lots of people already have them. And if we want to cut down on people's energy use, it's far better to use what you've got as efficiently as possible before you even think of changing it. So gas boilers, if we can cut down the amount of gas that people burn, then that will have a positive impact on our carbon emissions, and it might just go a little way to help reduce the effects of climate change. And I think we've all seen this week what a 1.5 degree temperature rise does to our weather systems. And to be fair, I don't want to see it going up any more than that, and I'm sure you don't either.
No. We're referring to floods and so on. You're just getting a little bit of a taster of what it's going to be like in the next few years, sadly. So gas boilers, I would imagine there are some people out there that just bought new ones.
Yeah.
There are people like us. I don't know how old our gas boiler is. Maybe we're thinking, what's the next step? Do we get a new one? Do we go down the road of what's those other things that would replace it?
Air source heat pumps.
Yeah, those. And, compare the prices and so on. If you've got an old one, I mean, you surprised me just now because you said they should last 22 years.
Yeah.
So if I was to get one now, it'd see me out. I'm pretty sure it would. But if you've got one, then should you nurse it and keep it going for as long as you possibly can? And if so, what's the best way of doing that?
Okay, a few things with gas boilers. It's really important to get your boiler serviced regularly. But on top of that, you need to know what type of boiler you've got and if you've got a condensing boiler or not. The easiest way to tell, if you don't know, is you'll have a white plastic tube coming out of the bottom of the boiler that will go outside through the wall, and that just lets water drain out, really. If you have a condensing boiler, then if it's set up properly, it should be 92% efficient. So for every unit of energy you put into it, you'll get 0.92 of a unit of heat out of it. The problem is that when most boilers are installed, and this includes boilers that have been recently installed, they don't set them up to run efficiently. And that's with the flow temperature. So this is the temperature of the water as it comes out of the boiler and starts going round your radiators. For a boiler to work in condensing mode, that needs to be between 55 and 60 degrees minimum. If it's higher than that, your boiler will not be running efficiently. And I'm doing home visits to people where I'm seeing boilers that have only recently been installed in the last couple of months, and that flow temperature is up at 75 degrees. By turning that down to 60, you can easily save 10% on your energy bill. So that is a huge saving just by changing one setting on your boiler. But most people don't know about it. Most people don't know how to do it. And even lots of gas engineers, when they come and service a boiler, they assume that the way it's set up is the way somebody wants it running, and they don't always ask the question. So if you are happy to change it yourself, then please do. If you're not happy to change it yourself, then when you have your boiler serviced, ask the gas engineer to turn the flow temperature down to 60 degrees, and then you've got an immediate 10% saving on your energy bill.
Which 10% these days is huge, isn't it? So, I mean, it's well worth doing. Is, when you say you could do it yourself, is it that easy?
It is that easy. You've normally got controls on your boiler. You may have a dial that you turn, or you may have a plus and a minus button with a little symbol of a radiator near it. Your instruction manual with your boiler should tell you how to do it. Or there are lots of instruction guides online that you can look up and see how to do it. And I'll post a couple of links on our Facebook page and on our website, and I'll send them through to you as well, that have step-by-step guides that people can follow for different types of boilers as to how this is done.
Wonderful. So if you're listening to this now, you can go on our website later on. You can re-listen. We'll podcast it, and those details will be with that, so you don't have to look too far, so you can have a crack at doing it yourself. I didn't realise it was that easy.
It is that easy. I mean, other things to do are to make sure that you bleed your radiators. So that's when you get air in the radiator. It normally sits at the top of a radiator and means that the heat doesn't flow through it and doesn't circulate through the radiator very efficiently. But the other thing that does is it will encourage rust within the radiator, because we want to keep your heating running as efficiently as possible. So you need to stop it rusting up on the inside, because that rust will fall down to the bottom. It will start to clog the radiator and start to clog the pipes. So then your heat won't circulate properly. So you'll then need your heating on for longer. You may want it up at a higher temperature, which means your boiler's having to work harder just because your radiators are starting to get a bit clogged up.
So from a simple bloke's point of view, if you go around your house, I mean, I don't know how many people have got their heating on at the moment, because it's not that cold, although it might be cold enough. But when you've next got your radiators on, it might be worth just going around and having a good feel around your radiators and checking. Because I'm just picturing our old system. It would have had probably two or three that weren't working properly. And I'm guessing that if they're not working properly, they're not efficient, then they're costing you more money to run. And, you know, it's going to cost the same amount of money to run those radiators. But if they're not efficient, that room's not going to be as warm as it should be. And you'll then probably think, oh, I'll turn the heating up even more.
Yeah. So one easy thing to do, if you get a radiator key, you can buy them for a couple of pounds online or from B&Q. And just, you'll have a little valve at the top of your radiator. Gently turn that. You'll hear air hiss out if there's air in it. And then when you start to get a couple of drops of water out, close it off again. And that just lets all of the air out of the system.
Again, is that something easy to do? And you know, anyone can. You don't have to be a heating engineer to do it.
You don't have to be a heating engineer to do it. That is really easy to do yourself. Other things to do or to have checked when your boiler's serviced is that you've got the right level of inhibitor within your radiator fluid. So that's a liquid that's added in that helps to stop it rusting and clogging up with general muck and gunge. Without that, you will always get a degree of build-up of sludge, rust and general muck within your radiators. Again, that will make them run inefficiently. So you can buy little test strips online. So when you bleed your radiator, you can catch a few drops of the water, dip in this little test strip, and that will tell you if you've got enough of this inhibitor in your system or not.
Oh, crikey, that's clever, isn't it? Because yeah. I've often wondered what's in it. You know, there must be some kind of fluid in there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's water, an inhibitor. But gradually over time, you will need to top your boiler up. So you'll have a little valve near the boiler and you'll turn it. It will let more water into the system and you close it off again. Over time, that dilutes the inhibitor. One thing we do when we go and do home visits for people, I go round with a thermal imaging camera and we look at every single radiator. And from there, you can quite easily see if the radiators need bleeding or if there's a sludge build-up. And I also test the radiator fluid for levels of inhibitor in there as well.
there's a lot we can do to help ourselves that we can actually do ourselves rather than get an engineer in, by the sound of it. Because I say the bleeding thing, just a key and you can turn it and do, that's quite simple. And have something that is that radiator completely warm, or is there a spot on it where it's blocked or not efficient? I think there's so many things that we could do. And okay, you go back 20 years, people probably wouldn't have minded so much, but nowadays where things are so much more expensive, it's got to be worth doing.
If you think of heat as money, so everywhere that you're losing heat, you're losing money because you've paid for that heat. So keeping your house as draft free as possible, making sure that your heating is running efficiently. And going back to the cost of heating, your central heating to heat your home is typically between about 60-ish percent of your total energy bill. Heating your hot water is another 23%. So add those together and you can see what an enormous amount of your energy bill is actually going on your heating and hot water. So anything you can do to make that run more efficiently has to be a good thing.
Definitely. Hey, look, I'm glad you're coming in. I feel like inviting you around for tea, because then you can check out our radiators and a few other bits and bobs as well.
Do you make good cake?
I can make a lovely cheesecake.
I'm easily bought for a cheesecake.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add about gas boilers?
If you're thinking of changing your gas boiler for an air source heat pump, what you can do is turn your flow temperature down to about 45 degrees and see if it still gets your house warm enough. Because there's a lot of information and misinformation online about you have to have a super insulated home, you need all your radiators replaced. That's just not true. And the lower the temperature, your flow temperature is, the more efficient your boiler will work anyway, because it will condense more at a lower temperature. And at home, we've turned our boiler down to a flow temperature of 45 degrees. And we've been running it like that for the last 2 years. We haven't had any radiators changed, nothing like that. And it still keeps the house perfectly warm throughout the whole winter. So we're actually going to go ahead this year and have an air source heat pump fitted to replace that boiler. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Can I come to you?
Yeah, you can come do an outside broadcast from your house. It sounds
so fascinating, and I think we've just got to be interested enough. And like you say, you make a really good point there. Just it's treat it like money. It is. You've got to think of the money, and you know, if you're happy wasting it and not knowing where it's going and why it's not working properly, and you just get on with things, that's fine. But if not, just pay some little bits of attention to it, and you could end up saving yourself a whole load of money. But more importantly, your system could be that much more effective.
Yep. And the more you look after your heating system, the longer it will last, because gas boilers that have to heat up a lot and then they cool down again, you end up with something called thermal shock. We've all seen it. We've seen things on aircraft of metal fatigue and things where things are stressed and heated and then cooled down. Eventually they crack and break. And the same happens in gas boilers. So the more you look after it and the more constant a temperature it can run at, which is normally a lower flow temperature for longer, it does actually become far more efficient. And we've saved over 25% on our gas bill by running our flow temperature at 45 degrees.
And when you work out 25%, that's a lot of money. So that's
it is when we're on LPG.
Yeah. Wow. Anything else?
I think that's it on gas boilers.
Okay, so what next?
Well, we're coming into summer, aren't we? So I think we have to talk about sunshine and solar panels.
Oh, wow. Just as do you know what? I've been paying attention. We got solar panels last year.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't that many out there. I was really quite shocked. I go for a walk around Newport. I went for a walk last week in Southend on Sea, and I didn't see many. And it shocked me, because I thought, aren't they the future? So That's just one. I'm going to pay more attention over the next 3 or 4 weeks and come back and report percentage-wise in Newport. I'm going to go around and have a look at everybody's and just work it out. So solar panels.
Solar panels and battery storage, because the two kind of go hand in hand.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming in.
And that's okay.
We'll set up a date for you to come around for some tea so you can sort out our house for us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.